You can bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but it takes a work of the Holy Spirit for a child to trust Jesus. Pastor and author Francis Chan says it was not long ago that he and his wife were beginning to wonder if their daughter was actually a Christian.
I mean, here I am, traveling the world, telling people about Jesus, seeing people come and fall in love with Jesus, and I can't make it happen in my own home. And so after those times of prayer, there was a day when my daughter came in and said, "Dad, you were right. I wasn't a believer."
This is Family Life Today. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. We're going to talk today about the person who Francis Chan says is the forgotten God. Stay tuned. Welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I saw a little twinkle, I thought, in your eye when we saw what we were going to be talking about today. Just a little gleam, little glitter there, you know?
Well, how should we say it? This is a controversial subject.
And it shouldn't be all that controversial.
It shouldn't be, but we're going to talk about the missing member of the Trinity.
Or as one person puts it, the forgotten God, right?
That's right. Francis Chan joins us on Family Life Today. Francis, welcome.
Thanks, Dennis. Good to be here.
Francis is a pastor and speaks extensively around the country at all kinds of popular Christian conferences, Catalyst, youth specialties. A lot of our listeners know of your first book, Crazy Love, which how many copies has that sold now?
Just over 500,000.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It
was never the intent. I never thought it would be a bestseller. My whole intent in that book was just, let me just encourage the people who are living radically, let them know that they're not crazy. And so I was thinking a small group, but amazing what God has done through
it. That's got to surprise you that theme has resonated with so many people, doesn't it?
Oh, it totally does, which excites me because you would think, no one wants to read this stuff. No one wants to get radical about Jesus. We're happy being comfortable, but I think the Holy Spirit is stirring people's hearts going, this isn't right. There has to be more. There has to be more.
Well, quite honestly, these are days when we need more and more folks getting radical about the greatest one who's ever walked the planet.
Well, and now you've gone and done it to talk about getting radical. You talk about the forgotten God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Is that something that in your own walk with Christ has been fresh for you in recent days?
It really has been. I mean, I've been in ministry for about 20 years now, and you do ministry a certain way for years, and it's fine. It's the way everyone else does it, and you see more people come to church, you know, you start speaking at different conferences, and there's some response, but every time you read the scriptures, you go, there's more, and you start looking at everything you do, and you realize a lot of this could be explained by natural means. A lot of the results I see could be happening just because, well, it's a good band, a good speaker, and so some good things are happening. Some talented people are drawing a crowd. Yet when I read the scriptures, it was the power of God, and people were stunned, shocked by the power of God. And pretty soon you go, I want that. I got to see that.
Well, it was Acts 1:8 where Jesus, as he was getting ready to depart the planet, spoke to his disciples and said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And then he began to talk about the influence they were going to have, not only in Jerusalem, but to the uttermost parts of the world. And that's really why the Holy Spirit came. He came
to
shake things up.
Yeah, and he tells his disciples, wait here. Don't go out there and try to change the world on your own. It's just not going to happen. Stay in this room and wait, because this power is going to come upon you. And so they wait. And when that power comes, sure enough, everyone, it says, they felt a sense of awe, you know, and don't you want to feel that? Don't we all want that? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what this is about?
Right.
For me to know that wasn't just a clever speaker up there or a great soloist or a great band.
Our great doctrine.
Exactly. But to know I experience God, it's undeniable. I want to feel that sense of awe. I want to know that it's God.
Well, I want to ask you a question that I ask some of my friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
This morning, I went online and I said, give me one word that describes the Holy Spirit to you. So while you're thinking, Francis, about the word you're going to pick, let me just tell you some of what my my friend said on Facebook. Melanie said, transforming. I really like that.
Yeah.
I like what Peter said, sculpting.
Wow.
That was a good one. Kara said, guiding. Marilyn said, conscience. Laurie cheated. She works here at Family Life. She said, power source, comforter, counselor, helper, advocate.
That's not one word. Shame on her.
Strengthener, guide, and teacher. She knocked off about a half a dozen.
I like the guy that wrote to you and said, irresistible is my word. And then he said, but that's because I'm a Calvinist. So, you know, I'll throw that in.
Okay, what's your word?
Oh, gosh, that's so hard.
One word.
I would go with powerful. I would. I wish I could say powerful leader. Is that powerful slash leader? Dash leader? Because I think a lot of times when we think of the Holy Spirit, I don't want people to think just a power that I harness, you know, like Spider-Man or something. It's this idea of a person that we follow that leads us and gives us this power. And I think sometimes we neglect that thought. We think, well, the Holy Spirit will come. He gives me this power that I can use at any time. But no, he's a person. He's a person that leads us and empowers us.
So is, I guess the question I have for you is, your relationship today with the Holy Spirit different than your relationship with the Holy Spirit was 2 or 3 years ago? Because, you know, you've been resident with the Holy Spirit ever since you came to faith, right?
Yes, I have. Yes,
so
I have.
He's been with you. He's been there. And yet there's something going on stirring in your soul related to that relationship.
Yeah, it's totally different now. And a lot has to do with my faith in the Scriptures and believing Jesus, taking his words literally and saying, no, this is actually my advantage. This is better than having Jesus walk beside me. Mm-hmm. I've got the Holy Spirit of God inside of me. And to really believe that and just to think that through of that John 16:7, why is it advantageous? Why is this better? Jesus is no longer next to me, but now the counselor is inside of me. And I want to live like it really is to my advantage.
How has that changed how you live for Christ in recent days?
So much of it is expectation. So much of it is just
expectation about what?
I expect great things to happen. I expect when I get in front of a crowd and I've really prayed and considered being filled with the Holy Spirit and really thinking about the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead is inside of me. So now I'm about to speak in front of this crowd, and it's not Francis Chan in the flesh just trying to come up with a good speech, but something is happening. Now God is speaking through me, and because of that prayer and because of that faith, I expect something to happen, real life change.
Take it down to your wife, Lisa,
yes.
Okay? Because she's not up on a podium giving a message to thousands of people like you do.
Yeah.
She's caring for your three daughters mm-hmm. and your son. How does this apply to her life about expecting God to show up where she's living her life?
As a mom.
Oh, yeah. It's huge as a mom. Huge as a mom. Because here's the thing. We got to a point, like with our oldest daughter, where we were really struggling and just wondering, is this faith even her own? And at one point, just looking at her and going, I've never seen the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Hmm. You've been pretty obedient hearing that, but just I'm just wondering.
Did you say this to her?
Yes, I did. I mean, I'm crying. I'm sobbing because I can't make her fall in love with Jesus. That's not anything. And everything I see in the Scriptures, according to my theology, that's something the Holy Spirit has to do. And so I'm crying night after night going, God, I can't do this. Either your Holy Spirit comes into her and she will follow. She'll be convicted. She'll fall in love with you. Or your Holy Spirit does not go into her, and I can't do anything about it. I can curb her behavior. Mm-hmm. I can, just put tighter restrictions on her so she can't get into too much trouble. But I can't make her fall in love with God. And I just remember agonizing and saying, God, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. Here I am traveling the world, telling people about Jesus, seeing people come and fall in love with Jesus, and I can't make it happen in my own home. And so after those times of prayer, there was a day when my daughter came in and said, "Dad, you were right. I wasn't a believer. I did not have the Holy Spirit in me." And she goes, "And I know it, and I'm sure of it, because he's in me now. And so I know the difference." And she goes, "Dad, I talk to him like I talk to you now. God is that real to me." And we've seen it. It's like, who is this girl? And the battle is real. It's hers. There's a real relationship with God. But so with parenting, we don't have to take ourselves too seriously. We work hard at parenting. At the same time, there's this supernatural element that you and I don't have control over, and my wife Lisa sees that completely.
So how do you counsel a mom and dad who may be raising a son, a daughter, and like you, they look and they go, "I just really wonder if this child is being obedient and compliant?"
And by the way, just to allow some comfort to those who are feeling that, it's really not the responsibility of the parent to make their child love Jesus Christ.
It's like Francis said, you can't do it.
It's impossible.
It is impossible. I just wanted parents to make sure they weren't hearing us say there was something Francis did wrong or we've done wrong with our children. No, it's a matter. This is a work of God.
That's a great point, because my wife even asked me at that stage. She goes, "Do you feel like a terrible parent? Do you feel like you failed?" And I could look her in the eyes. I go, "No, Lise, we're not perfect parents, but we have worked hard at this, and I think we're pretty good." I go, "But this is out of our control, so I don't feel like a failure. If there's any failure, it would be in a, maybe not praying as diligently as I should have, but I'm going to get serious about it now." So I'm glad you brought that up, because that was the first thing my wife thought is like, "Am I not a good mom? Did I not do my job?" I go, "No, honey, don't go there. You are a great, great mom. I've watched her. I don't want anyone else raising my kids. She did her job, but she cannot be the Holy Spirit, nor can I." You know, because I'm thinking, hey, I can speak. I can talk to her. I can talk her. No one can do that. That is a supernatural act of the Holy Spirit.
Well, and as parents, we all long for our children to come to faith.
Oh, yeah.
Third John says, "I have no greater joy than this, to know that my children are walking in the truth." If you wonder about a child, are you saying the best thing we can do is beg God to invade that child's life?
Absolutely. And be honest with your child. And some of these concerns you see in Paul's letters, he tells you, test yourself, see if you're really in the faith. And that was something we encouraged our daughter to do, because she just assumes, well, my dad's a pastor, my mom is in love with the Lord. So there's just this tendency of, and I'm not doing anything really horrible, so I must be a believer too.
Of course, maybe we need to pull this back. And before mom and dad start begging God to make sure that the faith is authentic in their child, do we need to be making sure the faith is authentic in our own lives?
Absolutely. Look at your own life and say, have I seen the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in my own life?
What's that going to look like, the supernatural look? Because you say that and I start thinking about, the ability to perform miracles.
Yeah. I mean, there's several things. Obviously, in Scripture, you have the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, do you have a supernatural love? Do you have a supernatural joy, a supernatural peace, a supernatural patience? You'll see that in parenting. I mean, a supernatural where the Holy Spirit has changed you. Like, I had a lot of anger issues and things like that, and it really is something I've seen the Holy Spirit supernaturally change over the years.
But let's just unpack that a little bit. You're not saying you don't ever get angry anymore.
Oh, no, not at all. But again, there's a new creation element where you ask my wife, she goes, "Wow, he is a different guy than when I met him." And that's the Holy Spirit changing me.
It's interesting in Galatians chapter 5 that it talks about the deeds of the flesh are evident.
Yes.
And when it comes to talk about the work of the Spirit, it talks about fruit.
Yes.
Well, if you know anything about fruit, it has to grow. It doesn't instantly pop out as a whole orange, full and ready to be taken off the tree and eaten. It takes a season to develop. And I could almost hear a mom or a dad going, patience, supernatural patience.
I need some of that.
I don't think I have the Holy Spirit because I'm telling you, these kids are driving me crazy.
Well, I used to love listening to Steve Brown pray. Steve Brown's a pastor in South Florida, professor at Reformed Seminary. And in all of his prayers, it seemed like as he was getting ready to preach, he would always pray, Lord, we're not good, but we're getting better.
Yeah,
I'm not good, but I'm getting better. And that's really, you're not saying you arrive at some spiritual plateau. You're saying you can look back and say, I see transformation happening in my life.
Oh, yeah. You want to be a different person than you were last year. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit is this conviction, this change. But it also goes beyond that to actual things that you do and the effect you have on other people. I mean, that's what the spiritual gifts are for, is to benefit. It's for the common good. There ought to be an impact you're having on other people's lives as the Holy Spirit has created you, but also, in a sense, he has gifted you. There should be a manifestation where you're seeing your kids are different because of the impact you've had on their lives, your neighbors, you know, people in the workplace. So they have to see it in your life.
Yeah, and back to just the words you used again, Francis, because you said supernatural love, supernatural joy, supernatural patience, and, you know, you start to feel the weight of that. It really isn't a matter of us having to grit our teeth and say, I'm going to love this person.
Exactly.
Bill Bright taught me a great deal about the Holy Spirit, but one of the things he taught me about his work was about loving by faith. He talked about allowing the Holy Spirit to love somebody that you don't like, or you've perhaps are tempted to resent or hate, and that you cry out in faith to the Holy Spirit and say, would you manifest your love? And what you're calling it, supernatural love. The deeds of the flesh want to get even. Mm-hmm. They want revenge.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about here is a person who ultimately surrenders their life, their will, to Jesus Christ, and then allows the Holy Spirit to empower and work in and through them to impact another person.
Yeah, you beg him for that. You beg him to experience that. And I've just seen in my life there, it's amazing when you pray with faith, and you pray for things that you don't even think you should have to pray for, like loving God. I can't even love God on my own. I have to pray and say, God, give me more love for you. And it's amazing how that actually happens. Lately, my prayer has been for extra grace. Going, God, I find myself as people are getting less and less tolerant and more irritable and just angry. I find myself going that same route. I'll go, God, change me, show me your grace, and then give me a supernatural grace. It's amazing how God does that in our lives.
One of the questions you ask in your book that I thought was a great question. You said, who do you know that most exemplifies being filled with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
And I thought, that really is a good question.
I didn't come immediately to mind when that...
Number two, Bob. You know, you know what I thought? I thought, I wonder if anybody would put me anywhere
on
the list.
On anybody's list. Yeah.
You know, and it's a good question, I think, to ask. You know, are you so infectiously in love with Christ and walking with the Spirit that others around you go, he's different? Because when the Holy Spirit shows up, you really are different. Now, I want you to share with our listeners who you said is the person that most exemplifies being filled with the Spirit. And honestly, there's something about me that's going, I don't know if I'd want to be this person all of a sudden. Here's Francis announcing this on national radio. But I think once you say the name, a lot of heads are going to nod.
Absolutely. And I just told her this last Sunday. It's Johnny Erickson Tada. And when I was asked that question, that just popped to the forefront because every word that comes out of her mouth is life-giving. It's joyful. Here she's been a paraplegic for over 40 years and been through incredible pain in the last year and a half. And I'm getting words of encouragement, letters of encouragement. Yeah, she calls me on the phone to encourage me. I cry just about every single time I talk to her because you just see a light about her. How do you see that supernatural joy? You're stuck in a wheelchair, you know, from a diving accident from when you were, you know, 15, 16 years old. And now she just had her 60th birthday.
Yep.
And she's changed the world. It's supernatural, the impact mm-hmm. she's had on the world. And with her Wheels for the World and everything else. I mean, just the light. You can't spend 5 minutes with her without her breaking into song or quoting a scripture or just telling you how good her God is with the sincerity and joy on her face.
You know, as you mention her, I'm reminded of a quote I heard John Piper make a number of years ago. He said, when things are going well for you and you say, praise the Lord, nobody in the watching world looks and goes, oh, well, gee, I want to get to know that person's God, because he says, praise the Lord when things go well for him. But he said, when you're going through the fire and in the midst of that, you radiate love, joy, absolutely. Peace, patience. The watching world doesn't know how that can be possible. And all of a sudden, your witness for Christ is on display in the midst of trial.
Yeah, and I was going to say, too, with our relationship with the Holy Spirit, what he does is he makes us more like Christ. Mm-hmm. And I got to just share this one story, because a friend of mine was telling me about this pastor that he's a pastor in San Diego, and he takes people over to Tijuana, where he does a lot of ministry, Pastor Vaughn. And he was describing this day that he spent with Vaughn. He says, I went down to the dumps in Tijuana, where he was, you know, helping the kids. He was giving them food. They would run up to him, you know, all dirty, and he would clean them up, and parents were coming. He's feeding them, loving them. And here's what my friend said. He goes, it was eerie spending the day with him. He said, the day I spent with Vaughn was the closest thing I've ever experienced to walking with Jesus. Hmm. He said, the whole time I thought to myself, if Jesus was on the earth, this is what it would feel like mm-hmm. to walk with him. Mm-hmm. He goes, Francis, it was eerie. And when he told me that, I thought, that is the greatest compliment you can give someone. And again, I ask myself the question, would anyone in their right mind say that about me? The day they spent with Francis, it was eerie. I felt like I was walking with Jesus. But that's what the Holy Spirit does in you. Mm-hmm. He makes you like Jesus Christ.
And that's why he showed up. He came to glorify Christ. He didn't come Amen. To glorify himself.
Amen.
He came to glorify Christ. And you know, I think the real challenge for all of us, whether you're a single listener right now and you are facing innumerable temptations and issues in your life, whether you're married, maybe in a tough marriage, facing issues where you're at odds with your spouse, maybe raising some children that are struggling, maybe a prodigal or two, or perhaps you're a grandparent and you're watching your adult children and it's not turned out the way you expected. You got to come back to the playbook, you know, the Bible.
Absolutely.
Galatians chapter 5. If you haven't read it recently, I would commend it to you. It just contrasts the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And the way you get the fruit of the Spirit is you surrender. It's a simple relational issue of saying, Lord God, I can't do it. You live in me because of Christ's finished work on the cross. You're the master. I'm the slave, and the Holy Spirit can do this work in my life today. I want you to love that other person through me. I want you to forgive that other person through me. I even want you to help me be patient with a two-year-old. I mean, help me in my weakness, oh God. And that surrender, at that point, you can do what you talked about, Francis, where you talked about what does it look like when you're expecting God? Mm-hmm. You expect him to show up and work in power.
Well, I think there are a lot of listeners who could probably use a refresher course on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you call your book The Forgotten God, and I think there are a lot of people who have backed away from really seeking to know and understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, his person, his purpose, what he is up to in our lives, because we've seen abuses of the understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. We have copies of your book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. Again, it's called The Forgotten God. It's written by our guest today, Francis Chan. And if you'd like to get a copy of the book, go to our website, familylifetoday.com. You can order the book from us online. Again, the website, familylifetoday.com. The title of the book is The Forgotten God by Francis Chan. You can also call to request a copy of the book. Our toll-free number is 1-800-FL-TODAY.
1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, tomorrow we're going to continue our conversation with Francis Chan about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We will talk tomorrow about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. I hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, and our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.